All right, boys, I am crashing the party for the next 2 days. Yes, Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes. You got Noodles and O-Dog here on Overdrive. Happy Thursday. It's Thursday.
I love it.
You're supposed to say off and running.
Off and running. Here we go. Is that the opening line?
That's Hazy B's little thing where he says, here we go, off and running. But good for Bry Guy, having some time off deserves it. Been working like a dog for 6 months.
He has been.
Are you sure you want to do those S's on today's show?
I don't have any front teeth, so they're a bit of a problem.
Andy, we went through this. I mean, we're going to have to revisit it here because you're new to the show for what's happened this week. Do you want to lay it out, or would you like my version?
No, I know what happened. I know the story. I know the sandwich. I know the teeth are missing. Apparently, you're not getting them till Friday. Is this what I'm understanding?
That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
or is it...
I'm having replacements. I'm not sure what they were going to look like. I hope pretty good, but it was a long time coming. They're like 10, 15 years of time served, and wow. They just ran out of time.
I don't know. I got caught down a rabbit hole today, and I was watching Post Malone and play the guitar and stuff.
Oh.
And then he got interviewed by Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Fallon's like, "You got, you know, new teeth or whatever." And he smiled, and he's got like a, I don't know, it's called a grill or something.
The gold stuff, yeah.
And it's gold or silver or diamonds or whatever. And I was like, I kept thinking, like, if O shows up Monday on the show with just like, you know, diamond teeth or something, like, it kind of would be legendary, depending on, again, I'm not privy to it, but like,
I like an earring. I like, you know, I like diamonds, but I just, for my teeth, I just don't see it. I don't know. I mean, you eat with your teeth. You got to clean them. I don't know what the deal is with like diamond or gold teeth.
Yeah. You got to get the toothpick in there and clean them up. Nah, I like a good clean grill. If you're going to get that, that's good. I thought you were brave, though, like pronouncing the S's right out of the gate. So, but I know the situation. Did I ever tell you I had a tooth yanked out in the Leafs dressing room quite a few years back?
I know why.
Why?
You weren't brushing.
No, of course
candy.
I brush.
Too much candy and not enough brushing.
Are you going to do this for the next 3 hours?
It's not a joke. Like, I can't. What do you want me to not say certain words? Like,
no, I love it. It's highly interesting. Plus, I'm also used to it. I mean, I worked, you know, rinkside reporting for how many years in hockey? I mean, I interviewed guys who had no teeth for many years. But
Trust me, Andy, my wife was not used to it. Like, my teeth came out.
Oh, no, this is natural to me.
No, she was like, oh, my God, like, do we have to go to the hospital, the doctor, the dentist? I'm like, no, we just have to kind of play it cool.
What if you, I mean, honestly, if you lost the teeth in the sandwich or whatever and said to Jumi, like, we have to go to the hospital, would she have, like, been in the car ready to go? Like,
and within 30 seconds, she would have had the car started. She's like, we got to do something. She'd never seen something like that. It's like, and my kids, like, my kids weren't around when I played hockey. Like, right. I had my kids when I was done playing hockey, and I was sitting at the table with all three of them, and I was like, I kind of made a noise, and then I pulled all of my teeth out, and they were like, whoa,
oh, that's
Dad! Yeah, that's tough. That would shock anybody, even me.
Yeah.
If I was sitting there, you know, with you on the panel or something, and you had a sub incident, then, you know, it would be shocking, but I would be able to. I mean, how many times have we seen guys lose their jibs, like, in-game? Get it, puck or teeth. Like, it happens left and right. It's just, the thing is, I'm removed. I think I'm 13 years removed from it. So we're not seeing, you know, I was numb to it before. Like, flat out, a guy would get a puck in the face, he's leaking everywhere. I'd be like, can you pass me the water? Like, you're numb to these things.
Because you're like, here's a towel, stop your bleeding, get me the Gatorade.
I saw Gary Roberts in front of our bench in Carolina, half his ear was hanging off, and he was yelling at guys on the Bruins in the playoffs, and instead of saying, Roy, get your ear fixed, we were like, good job, Gary, good job. And half of his ear, half his ear was hanging off of his head.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Some of these injuries you become numb to just because you've seen, and some of them are gruesome. I don't know if I've told this story on on the show before, but I was starting. Grant Fear was injured, and we had a guy named Rich Perrant called up. And he was our number three and good guy. And, you know, he took a shot from Al MacInnis in warm-up that hit him underneath the cup. So it got a, you know, it got a chunk. And apparently he sat there for the first period, doubled over because he was a call-up. He didn't want to, you know, be a distraction, but, like, huddled over and moaning. Apparently he had a ruptured testicle, and it was the size of a grapefruit, and he didn't want to tell anybody. That he had to have emergency surgery that night.
Yeah, no kidding.
I had no idea. Like, none of us had any idea because he's a kid that was called up from the minors, and, like, it was gruesome, to say the least, and not to mention, like, I don't even know. I don't know the ending of that story. I believe, you know, that one was lost in the transaction. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but it was a gruesome injury. And
that's a real kick in the pills.
Exactly. Like a flat out shot in the pills that, like, this guy had to grind through. And because he was a call up, because he wasn't, you know, familiar with the situation, he tried to grind it out. Like, I had no idea I was starting that night. So I was playing in net, and the guys told me, like, later, like, yeah, they had to.
Did he finish the game, or did you notice it in the shower where you're like, maybe you want to go get some help?
No, he didn't come strolling in with, you know, this situation. I believe they took him to the hospital, like, during the game. Like, he just wasn't there. I wasn't paying attention. Everyone's kind of in a zone doing their own thing. But that was, like, in hindsight, one of the more gruesome injuries that I had come across in my career.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, PJ Stock, he's been on the show quite a few times. You know that big scar right across his face? He actually got that in Toronto. He got a skate to the face, and he said, like, it just opened up. Like, it flapped open to the point where even the trainers didn't know what to do because they could see his teeth on the side there. But, I mean, it's scary. It's sad. You see those injuries. But, yeah, I it's all fine now. Long story short, had a tumor in my jaw benign. It was all great. But it actually caused one of my molars in the back to crack, and I was working a Leafs game. And I remember going down to the room and talking to the team dentist, you know, who was there, and I'm like, I got to get this out. It's cracked in half. It's causing me so much pain. He said, no problem. It was first period. So we get there. He's like, but number one, I can't freeze you. Don't have time. Number two, if a player takes, you know, puck, anything, to the face and needs dental work, he's like, I got to boot you out of the chair. So here I am with this, like, makeshift bib because I still have to go on air for the post-game show. So I'm like, don't ruin my blouse. Yeah. Yanking out my tooth, there is saliva and blood pouring out of my mouth. And all I kept thinking was, for the love of God, nobody get hit in the face. Please, nobody need to come in here and need the dentist because I was in a bad way. And then I felt for you guys. I'm like, I never want to go through that again. And hockey players, that is a regular occurrence.
It really is. Well, so it's been a grind. And we didn't really notice it until about halfway through the show yesterday when there was Jerry's
creative juices flowing and business acumen buzzing.
Jerry made an
appearance.
That
just sounded sloppy. That was so bad.
It was tough.
If anyone wasn't aware of it, I think Jerry's cover was blown yesterday.
At that point, like, there were people tweeting in going, I think was Jerry. It might be, you know, like all of these years.
Figuring,
like,
it out now.
Just figuring it out. But it was funny because Hayes and I, you know, like, we have a, you know, the Gero, so we can see each other's reaction on our computers. And I was trying not to laugh, and I'm like, okay, I got to let it go here. It's enough. But you know what? That gentleman's grinding through, and I respect that. That's tough.
Lots of respect. I love it, O-Dog. Battle of Alberta, gentlemen, game 5 goes tonight. Oilers, of course, looking to seal this one up 3-1. They lead the series. But I want to play this clip. Daryl Sutter. Oh, my goodness. I'm not the one missing the teeth. Look at that. Couldn't pronounce that name. But this is what he had to say, obviously, when he was asked about the team being down and, you know, what the team needs to do differently and obviously kind of stay in this fight. And this is what Daryl Sutter had to say.
I think this got nothing to do with effort or anything like that with any of our guys that are you know, haven't been as productive after game one in the series. But you have to give Edmonton credit in that, too. Like, maybe our guys are doing all they can. Maybe Edmonton's just doing a little bit better right now. I mean, that's kind of been a sideline, right? Nobody's talked about that. It's always been about the negatives. What about the good stuff that's going on?
So we know it's in our nature. We're always going to look at a team that's on the losing end or that's up against the ropes, and we're going to say, you need to do this, this, and that better. This is what you're doing wrong. But what do you make of what he just said, where sometimes you have to give credit to the team that's winning and leading? Maybe they are that good.
Jamie can go after me, and he'll probably correct me if I'm wrong. But I look at that message as a challenge to his players, saying there is more for you to give, and you're being outplayed by other people, and you can play better, and your best is good enough to be winning games in this series, and it just simply hasn't been there. I think that's the message right there. Daryl Sutter would never just concede and say, oh, they're better than us, we have no chance. I look at that as him challenging his players, Jamie.
I agree. Like, everything that comes out of Daryl Sutter's mouth is calculated. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think people underestimate him. He's a farmer, grew up on a farm, and, you know, the Sutter family, all of that, old school and stuff. Daryl is as sharp as anybody in the game. He sees things, he understands things, he learns things, he's, you know, understands analytics, everything. Like, Daryl is... And for him to make that comment, I think it's, you know, he's pointing out, yeah, McDavid and playing great, but like it's a shot at his own players saying, this is what I'm seeing. Maybe Edmonton's better than you guys. And believe me, he said it in the media. He might have said it in a meeting yesterday or today too, because Daryl Sutter's not a guy that, you know, puts a comment out there and is afraid to say it to somebody's face. So I wouldn't be shocked if he said, you know what, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Jacob Markstrom, like the star guys, and flat out, these are star players. Like Tkachuk had 100 points. Johnny Gaudreau had 115. Markstrom up for the Vezina. I would be shocked if Daryl Sutter hasn't challenged them and said, that team's playing, their stars are playing better than our stars, flat out. And he just echoed that in a different way in the media. It seems like a backhanded shot, but everything is calculated with Daryl. So I agree with you. Well, I think that's a backhanded, like, hey, let's see what you got tonight. Star power, show up. Mm-hmm.
And and it's not like for Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Lindholm to go out there, Jamie, and be better than Connor McDavid, because nobody can be. But if they're at an elite level and their play increases, their level increases, it is about them having a chance to win. If they play better, obviously, the whole season we have talked about Markstrom and that top line. I think every guy in the line got 40 goals.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah. You don't see that very often. So the goalie's got – one of two things has got to happen for this series to change. I played in a series against Montreal when I was with Carolina, and Brendan Moore, Cole, and Battaglia, they became a real problem for Montreal, where something clicked for them, and Montreal just had no say in it. They couldn't do anything about it. And Ronnie Francis and myself, it was just, we had fun because they were doing anything in their power to stop that line. And we would just chip in because nobody was really thinking about us. So for Calgary, something has to click for them to turn the tide in the series. And there's two options, basically. You know, we talk about depth guys and we give love to people moving around the lineup, blah, blah, blah. But they got two chances, that top line or Markstrom. One of those two things has got to start being dynamite or they're done.
I think for me, I always come back to the goalie. Jacob Markstrom, for me tonight, has to be the positive story for the Calgary Flames.
Lead story.
Like, flat out, the goalie was great. Because if the goalie was great, that means we're talking about Calgary and winning and extending it to six. And Markstrom was Markstrom from the regular season. Even Markstrom from the Dallas series. Because let's not forget, like, Ottinger was fantastic. It took a lot of mental toughness and great play for Markstrom to stick with it, to win 1-0, to win those 2-1 games where, you know, the other guy's making 55 saves and you're making 30, but the chance you're still facing 15 chances. Like, Markstrom has the ability to do it, and it's quite simple. Top line and star players, the goaltender, has to be difference makers. And, you know, I thought the other night, McDavid got 2 assists. I didn't think he was as dominant as we've seen previous games. You might just concede points to McDavid just because he's that good. But that top line for Calgary and the goalie have to be the story tonight for the Calgary Flames in a positive way. If not, tomorrow we're talking about, you know what, Edmonton just had too much. The Oilers were in a groove. Mike Smith, if Mike Smith is good tonight, that's a problem for the Calgary Flames, because Edmonton, they just need capable goaltending. They've got star power. They've got guys fight. Leon Draisaitl's on one skate, and he's still chip. He's, what is it, four games in a row that he's gotten 3 points or more? Like, that's impressive. It's impressive what he's doing.
What McDavid and Draisaitl are doing from a points perspective, I mean, 25 points for McDavid, 22 for Draisaitl. And I agree with you. I think if you're a coach and you're saying, hey, maybe the other team was just better, you're saying that once it's done. You're saying that once it's over. You're not saying it when you're still in the fight. So perhaps a motivation tactic there. But with Connor McDavid, and I'm sure you guys have discussed it already, and I know we sound like a broken record, but it is pretty spectacular what he's doing. A, I feel like a lot of players too, there's always that fantastic player, but what is he going to do in the playoffs, right? Fantastic player, but can he, you know, win his team a Stanley Cup? I'm not saying that's going to be the case even this year for Edmonton, but he has hit a whole new level. And that is way more difficult to do in hockey, I feel, than any other sport, because you have shifts. So you have guys who are out there 30, 40 seconds. So you're constantly getting off and on the ice. You got a slippery surface. You got the puck bouncing everywhere. Like, that's why it's remarkable, I think, when one, two guys really stand out on a hockey team, as opposed to when you talk about basketball, because, you know, it's five guys, they're on the court, he's there the entire time. Hockey, it's not that easy, because of shift changes and the unpredictability of where the puck is going to go on an icy surface. So for McDavid to be doing this, I mean, are you kind of going for the Oilers because you just want to see him continue in that next round?
Well, I wanted to finish on your point there, because prime example was last night. Nathan MacKinnon single-handedly was ready to deliver his team to the third round, to the point where he goes end-to-end.
Look
with
at this guy.
Under 3 minutes.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Like, this is single-handedly going, I'm not accepting that we're tied right now. I'm gonna take it into my hands and do it. And then he changes, and his team can't get a defense. They can't get a save. They can't get a big play from Eric Johnson on the back door. Like, he must be disgusted today, because that team should be in the second round. Or, sorry, in the third round.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, that's a helpless feeling if you're MacKinnon. You get a hat trick on home ice. You're up 3-0.
That's enough to win.
It was enough to win, and then Bozak.
Noodles,
you know,
that's a garbage goal in overtime.
Terrible.
I don't know. Like, I don't
know
how in the hell that goes in. It's like you work so hard, and you got your best player gets a hat trick, and then that goes in. It might have dipped a little bit, but that just can't go in. That's nonsense.
But Andy, you were talking about it, like the control. McDavid doing that. Like, I look at the goal that McDavid scored against LA with the exclamation point, where that was like the 2-0 goal, and he was not being shut down that night. Mm-hmm. That night, like, that was a 1-0 game until late in the game, and McDavid's like, we are not doing this. We're not having a bad bounce and go into overtime in game 7 or anything. He delivered his team to the second round. Nathan MacKinnon last night, for me, he was delivering his team to the third round, and they let him down. Like, defensively, you have to find a way to not get scored on in the last 2.5 minutes for that tying goal after giving up 3 goals after you've been up 3-0. Like, that was a gutsy win by St. Louis. They deserve a lot of credit, believe me. But that's on the Avalanche players have to be a lot better, because I thought that was a series-changing play for MacKinnon. Like, that's a statement by a superstar. Yeah.
And you mentioned McDavid, Andy. You've been doing this a long time. It's all about the star players. You want to have the best player in the world advance to the next round. Everybody's interest. You talk about a matchup possibly with McDavid and MacKinnon. Everybody in the hockey world wants to see that. Right. And I always thought, and I've said it, and it's been so frustrating because of the struggles they've had to have success in a team format in Edmonton. When you got those two players who are that much better than everybody else, they're going to win sooner or later. Like, it's just, like, the best player always has a great chance to win if he elevates in doing what McDavid is doing, because nobody can stop them.
Yeah.
Right. You saw it with Mario back in 91 and 92. He couldn't be stopped, and it's just that team's going to win. Gretzky in the 80s, you can't be stopped. They're so good, they're better than everybody else. And when they elevate to that level, unstoppable. And I think you're seeing that with McKinnon. You're seeing that with Vasilevsky in Tampa right now. And you're seeing that with McDavid. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to see the best players advance? I do.
Yeah, I mean, and they're being the best. And then you have the help. I mean, not to say that the help isn't standing out, but I mean, who would have seen this coming from Evander Kane? I mean, it could have gone either way. It could have been a complete bust. Ken Holland would have also been completely criticized because we all know that was, at that time, a PR nightmare. Yep. Or it could be Evander Kane knowing that this is it. Like, you've got to pull up your socks and prove that, you know, you're still a good guy to have in the NHL. You're still a player who can give. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's grabbed that second chance. He's flying with it. I mean, 12 goals in 11 games for him. What he's contributing right now to the Edmonton Oilers is also pretty impressive, because that's a risky move. I don't care what anyone says. And I know people will say, leave whatever happens off the ice. It doesn't matter in this day and age. Later on, coming up at 6 p.m., we're going to be talking about Canada Soccer canceling their, you know, men's friendly against Iran. Things happen. Worlds collide, as George Costanza likes to say. So this could have been a complete nightmare for Holland.
Only off the ice, Andy. On the ice, the guy's a hell of a player. He's big, strong, tough, can score goals. The only risk is what he gets up, and nobody knows really what he gets up to off the ice. Well, I actually do, but it's not for comment. But on the ice, unbelievable talent. Unbelievable talent.
But you know, it's a risk, because you're not just going, we're taking a player for his game. You're acquiring a package. You're acquiring the whole package. So you have to – I think it's a perfect fit for him. And I think he realizes too, because – like, who would not sign up to play with the best player in the world? And they've got chemistry too. Like McDavid's looking for him. And I think McDavid feels a lot safer on the ice, because every little scrum, every little tap on the lace or anything, there's Kane. Like, he has been a good teammate to Connor McDavid, going, I've got your back. Like, anybody touches you out here? Like, Zach Cassian was on that line, you know, the last couple of years. And he's a guy who will stand up for his teammates. But Evander Kane is a guy who actually is a first-line player. But he's tough to back it up as well. He's a very unique player in today's game, because not everyone can score 30, 35 goals, put up 80 points, but back it up physically and be a guy who, you know, isn't afraid of anybody out there. So he's
in a perfect power position. Forward.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
he is.
Real power forward.
He is a prototypical power forward, and I think he's done a great job there. But that, you know, it comes back to, so we're talking some really positive things about Edmonton. Can you think of somebody on Calgary that been like, man, that guy's been lights out this series? We can't. Like, maybe game one, obviously. Game one, they put up 9. Like, that, everyone was great on that night. But except for Markstrom, who allowed 6 that night. That should have been a 9-2 game. He just had an off night. But, you know, Calgary's got to find a response. Like, they're, you know, back up against the wall. And, like, last night, my stomach, like, I felt sick for Nathan McKinnon, because I was like, this guy, that was his statement play right there.
You know what that reminded me of? Going back to the 2012 Olympics, when Christine St. Clair scored the hat trick in the semifinals against the Americans, the debacle with the ref and the pen, and it doesn't matter. Either way, Canada loses. She scores a hat trick, and they don't even go on to play for gold. It was heart-wrenching. They do end up, you know, getting the bronze. But to your point, you have this brilliant effort. When are you going to see, like, something like that is so spectacular, and then meh, meh. So we'll see.
When a great player gets a hat trick, you generally are supposed to win the game.
That's
even I got a hat trick in Anaheim one night, and I still found a way to be minus 3.
I can one up you,
Did you really?
What?
I felt
Kurian
bad.
And Solani teed off on me, and it was a...
Well, I've got one closer to home. Joe Nieuwendyk, I was playing with him, and he got a hat trick. But then this other guy named Sundin got 4.
Same night,
lost Florida.
Yeah, I was playing for Florida. Sundin got 6 points that night, 4 goals and 2 assists. They won in overtime.
I think I might have got one that night too.
I don't know. Oh, you might. I'm pretty sure you played that night.
Check the score sheet of that game.
I mean, you're naming some big names here. You're naming some Hall of Famers. That's okay. That's okay if they beat you. I mean, the guys you're naming here.
How can I look Joe Nieuwendyk in the eyes on the bus after the game? He's just had a hat trick. He's a legendary player, And then, you know, obviously Sundin's a legendary player, but he got four that night. Like, Sundin's four overshadowed, obviously, Nieuwendyk's three. So
it's all your fault.
It's all my fault.
It's not. Noodles, that's how sports goes. So that's a big game tonight, Battle of Alberta. Hey, by the way, just as we're going to see if Calgary can stay alive tonight, we were wondering if Canada would stay alive at the World Championship, taking on Sweden in the quarterfinals. They were down 3-0. Unless you weren't looking at Twitter, they came back. They won it in OT.
Yeah,
impressive. So they're going on to the semifinal. Gord Miller, who's calling the World Championship, is going to be joining us next year on Overdrive. I'm filling in for Brian Hayes. Stay with us.
Joe from the Bridge. Speaking of kicking to the pills, just gave me a real swift one. Noodles, what was the score of that game where Sundin had 6-4?
6-5 in overtime, I think it was.
And I was like, yeah, I think I had a couple that night. And Joe from the Bridge writes a note and says, you played 9 minutes and you were -1.
Oh,
not the best.
No.
Well, 9:34 of ice time, yeah. He actually wrote.
And he said 256 of that was on the power play. So things were really going well at that time.
That's a good night there.
Anyway, right. It sickens me to say that with someone listening that probably has something to say as well.
Maybe does, because maybe, I mean, he's called a lot of games, called a lot of your games. And speaking of power play, that's what the Canadians took advantage of at the World Championship today to get that win in OT. And, oh, who had to be in the box for Sweden? William Nylander. Let's bring in Gord Miller, who's calling the action. And it is Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes, JB's Noodles McLennan, and you got Jeff Toothless O'Dog O'Neill. No bite, doggy. Sorry. One little jab. That's it. I'm not going to do any more jabs. That's it. Gord, how you doing?
Good. Oh, what happened to your teeth?
Oh, no, he doesn't know.
I had a sandwich and the three front ones fell out.
What was it, a brick sandwich?
It was a soft bun, apparently.
It was. They served their time, Gord. I talked about it off the top. They did. They gave me good 50. It's like a dog, man. Good 15 years, and they had to go.
Wow. It was some two-day-old ciabatta bread. Maybe that's what it was that he ended up biting into. Yeah.
Well, Gord, you got something going on there that you tweeted out. Are you enjoying yourself at an establishment, or what do you got going?
Well, I'm with some friends here, and the submarines are launching. So wow. I was concerned that the fleet would leave before I did this radio show, so I've managed to hold off. We've had one submarine. So for the first time in my career, I've had a whiskey shot and a beer, and it's basically, they call them depth charges in Canada, right? You drop a shot of whiskey into your beer glass and you fire it all back. So
I called that a Tuesday night when I was in university.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so does everyone in Sweden, Gord, hate William Nylander? Or, I mean, it looked like one of those plays where it wasn't like stupid. He was kind of out of position. But it's one of those ones where people just pile on, don't they?
Well, you know, and the one thing that happens, in Sweden is they are viciously personal.
Really?
Really tough. Like when they lost to Belarus in the quarters at the Olympics in 2002, the front page of Aftonbladet, which is like their daily sports paper, had a picture of each member of the team with their NHL salary, jail bars in front of them, and said the biggest thieves in Sweden.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Like Johan Garpenlöv, the head coach, is really getting it because they finished ninth last year, they flamed out of the Olympics, and now they've lost out in the quarterfinals here, blowing a 3-0 lead in the third period and losing in overtime. And so Garpenlöv is the guy that's getting it. But I got to tell you guys, like, compared to what we're used to in North America, like, look, Sheldon Keefe can tell you there's lots of criticism and everything else. Here, like, especially in Sweden, it's viciously personal. Like, they go after people personally.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, unfortunately, we do see it. But, I mean, bottom line is this is a Canadian team. And we saw it even last year, Gord. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the first time that you had a team lose four games in the tournament but then still go on and win gold. You can't count Canadians out, no matter if they're, you know, big NHL names or not. But, you know, what did the Canadians do differently that they suddenly turned it around where they, you know, they had been down 3-0 midway through the second and then just turned it on in that third period?
And they were down 3-0 early in the third. You know, they outshot the Swedes 19-1 in the second period, and the Swedes scored in their only shot to make it 3-0. So I think they got some confidence out of that. Like, they you know, they just stay with it. Ryan Graves scored an early goal in the third period to get them going. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Matt, and then Matt Barzal on his birthday scores the tying goal. You know what it is? I think, and you know, you can talk to this. You've played internationally, and Jamie, you can talk about it too. That there's a belief in Canadian players that they can be resilient and they always have a chance. No, they don't always come through, but they believe they always have a chance. But more important than that, their opposition knows that. You could see it late in the game when Rasmus Dahlin put the puck over the glass. You could see fear on the Swedish bench. Like, it wasn't like, come on, guys, let's go kill this. It was like, oh, God, here they come.
Yeah, oh, God, and, you and, don't need to give them that opportunity because they'll take advantage of it.
And you know, and they're, you know, I've always said this to young players at the World Junior when you play for Canada, that every country in the world wants to beat you so bad, but they also are terrified of you. There's an aura and a mystique around Canadian hockey that I'm telling you, like, you know, after the game today, so many people came up to me, you know, I was having dinner after the game in the lounge here, and which you know so well. Oh, you've spent so much time over here. You come to the lounge all the time. But the
yes,
you know, representatives of different countries, Canada does it. You know, Canada always has that ability to find, and, you know, Andy, you talked about it. Last year, they lost their first three games. The first team to lose their first three games to make the medal round, not just that, they win the gold medal. Like, there's a belief in Canadian players, and I would say the Tampa Bay Lightning have that belief, right? Like, and you know, when you play the Lightning, they know they can come back, and you know they can come back.
Yeah.
Well, but I want to ask you this, Gord, and I don't know how you make the two relate, although I feel there is a way you can explain it, because obviously we always want to see the Canadians do well. The World Championship, you know, you're taking on still some strong nations with strong players, even though we know some of them will still be missing players because they're playing right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Why do you think the Canadians at the last two Olympics where NHLers have not been there? Okay, fine. In Pyeongchang, they get the bronze, but we know Beijing, you know, was a disaster by Canadian standards. What's the difference there?
Well, I think, Andy, there's a real talent differential, because what you have is you have Swedes and Finns and these other countries that play together all year in their domestic leagues and play in tournaments. They have they have full time national teams, right? They play in tournaments all year long. They have a cohesiveness that is really makes a difference for them. Whereas Canadians, you know, those guys go over. I mean, those are, you know, it's no offense to the guys who go, but I would say that if a Canadian player is not good enough to play in the NHL, a lot of them are in the American League. Some are in Europe, but a lot of them are in the American League. Europeans, given a choice between playing in the NHL or playing in the AHL or playing in Europe, will play in Europe. So they have access to a little bit of a better pool of players, to be honest. And that's the difference. You know, I would say this. You have to be really careful making evaluations based on single elimination tournaments. You know, I mean, the Swedes lost the game today. You know, they're up 3-0. They lost the game. If you play that game seven times over again, the Swedes probably win 4 or 5 of the games. So, you know, Scotty Bowman's greatest Montreal team in the 70s would lose 2, 3, 4 games in the playoffs. Well, you lose one here, you're out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, Gordon, I wanted to talk about, you know, at the tournament, you're obviously right in front of a lot of the players and get an opportunity to see, you know, other countries play in that. Is there somebody that stands out there for you that, whether it's on Team Canada or on the other countries that maybe isn't getting enough play, might have an opportunity to either, you know, if they're a little bit older, to get back into the NHL, or maybe an up-and-comer that we should be keeping an eye out for that you'd like to the tournament?
How much have you guys heard of Yuri Slafkovsky?
Nothing.
Nope.
So Yuri Slafkovsky is a Slovak who was rated by most people in the top, like Craig Button, I think, had him in his top 5 for the draft before the tournament. He led the Olympics in goal scoring, 7 goals in 7 games. He's an 18-year-old kid, and he's been here for long stretches. I would say this to you guys. For an 18-year-old to dominate at the World Juniors, unusual. There's more than 120 NHL players here, and he's held his own against them. I'm not saying Montreal will take him first overall, but they've got to think twice when they make the pick. I think you take Shane Wright. You take the right-handed centerman, absolutely. But if Slafkovsky falls to Jersey at 2, they're getting a potential superstar.
Wow.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. Now, would Ray be able to pronounce his name? Would that take a while to pronounce his name? Like, I feel like when you said his name, all I could think of that old character on SCTV, Billy Stamovolichki, that John Candy played.
Yes. It's just like it's spelled. We've done Slavkovsky's games. Yeah. I think Ray can handle it.
Wow.
It's surprising The ones that trip him up, strangely enough. Yeah.
Well, Gore, before we let you go, based on everything that you've seen right now and heading into the semifinals, do you have a favorite just based on what you've seen? Well, of course, we know anything can happen, but who do you think can win this?
Well, the Finns. I think the Finns are the favorite. They fell behind 2-0 to Slovakia today, won their quarterfinal tonight. They've got – the Finnish word is sisu. It means collective guts and collective courage. And they as a people have it, and they as teams have it. They've got an NHL caliber. We've got Miro Heiskanen here, Esa Lindell. They've got a real good defense here. They've got Mikael Granlund. They've got a real good team here. And, the crowd is nuts for the Finns here. So I would say the Finns are the favorite. They're going to play the U.S. in the semis. Canada's going to play the Czechs. The Czechs have this top line, Krejci, Červenka, and Pasternak. They scored all three goals today against Germany. They've been dynamite. And Krejci, Krejci was, you guys know, Krejci was such a good player for so long in the NHL. He led the Bruins in goal scoring in the playoffs, and they won the Cup in 2011. And they're playing great. So I'm looking forward to the weekend and see where it goes. But, yeah, I think the Finns are the best team here.
All right. Well, Gord, enjoy your submarine or I don't know what you called it.
Just drinking. We'll just call it drinking.
Yes, whiskey shots.
Enjoy your beverages.
It's called a submarine. I encourage everyone to drink in moderation, and I might too.
Yes, you do that because you have a big call coming up on the weekend, Gord. We'll talk to you later.
On Saturday.
Look, we're seeing images right now.
Yeah, that means good night, Gordo.
Yeah, Saya Nara.
Oh, you've seen this movie before, haven't you?
Yeah, I played a starring role in it, pal, a lot of nights. Yeah.
Have some fisu. Don't, whatever, have that courage. Just stay strong.
I hear you.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Take care. That's Gord Miller, TSN play-by-play voice out calling the World Championship here with the Canadians, being down 3-0, scoring a goal early in that third period, and then scoring two goals 30 seconds apart to tie it up. And then they get the winner in the overtime on the power play with William Nylander. I mean, that's just crazy. We know it's happened to so many people. But I know you guys a couple days ago talking about him throwing the body around. I mean, what did he have, 2 goals in 3 games? It's like, look at this guy, the way he's playing for Sweden. And then, how quickly.
Wow.
How quickly.
Look, people aren't going to freak out over a YouTube click, but it was just like, are you-know-whatting me right now with that? Like, running people over. He hit 5 guys in 1 shift, and I don't know. It actually bothered me a little bit, to be honest with you.
Why?
I was like,
well, Andy,
why do you think?
Okay. Yeah. Although, I will say this. When Gord said, be careful, the single elimination, or like when it's kind of a number, right, best of 5, best of 7, whatever it is. Maybe this is just me personally. If that Leafs-Tampa series was like a best of 9, I don't know. Like, yeah, there's only so many numbers you could go. I mean, I don't know.
It's
there's
not fantasy land, though, Andy.
If it was a best of nine,
they might have had a chance to win. Well, but anyway, I wanted to ask you, Andy, are you like Gord? Because Noodles works with Gord all the time. Gord knows where, like, a coffee bar in a little town in Finland is because of his travel. Like, are you like that? Or are you just like, get me to the airport, get me the hotel, and get me the hell out of here?
No, I need to explore. I'm going to, if I'm there, I want to be with the locals. I want to know the, restaurant to go to, cafe to go to. Yeah, I love that. Love it.
I know, but do you know it all? Gord literally knows the guy around the corner in Germany that has a coffee bar and whatever.
Well, no, because he goes to these places regularly. So, No, I'm not like that. It's
Jamie,
not like
is
cheers.
That not correct?
It's so true. Like he will literally, we get into a city, he's like, God, there's great sandwiches. You know, the owner's name is Bob. Go around down the alley, turn left. You're like, that's not even a storefront. But he knows these places because he does get out when he travels. He actually does get out and explore. Like, I'll say to him, what are you doing this afternoon? Like, I'm either going to read or do whatever, watch a show. Like, I'm going to go for a walk. Like, he's going to go do things where, you know, I'm a little bit more introverted that way. When we travel, I just like to do my thing, and I feel like I'm busy, so I just I try and get it all in. But Gord is dialed up in every city, and he knows people, and he befriends them. That's the thing. Like, he's doing submarines. It might be with the locals, and they'll stay in touch, and then he's got a buddy in Sweden that he stays in touch. And, I'm just going to pop into Sweden after I'm in Finland. And, you know, he's very worldly, put it that way.
He really is. And I've had the dubious honor a couple years in a row when the Leafs had their camp out in St. Catharines, was it? Anyways, we would drive together. This guy's getting phone calls, by the way, in his car every 10 minutes from people. Someone's calling him. They're hockey execs, they're scouts. To your point, there are people from European federations. Is Taylor's calling him? I'm just like, do you ever shut it off? Do you ever just stop? No.
He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. Gotta love our Gord. So there you go. The Canadians off to the semifinal. We'll see if they can get another gold medal at a tournament where it looked like they would have been down and out in the quarterfinal. Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes. We're going to have Craig Button, who's going to be joining us as well at 5:05. We'll get into Game 5, Battle of Alberta. Nick Nurse is going to be joining us, talking a little bit more about Basketball Canada. Obviously, we'll ask him some stuff about the Raptors. But as we know, they're going to have some qualifiers coming up, one in Hamilton for the World Cup, getting the players as well to commit for the next 3 years as well. We know that's been a bone of contention the last few years, is trying to tell these pro ballers that, you know, you want to represent your country, right? So they're really trying to change things around there at Canada Basketball. And then Oliver Platt from One Soccer is going to be joining us to get a little bit into Canada Soccer's announcement to cancel the Canadian men's friendly against Iran. So a lot more still to come here on Overdrive. Andy filling in for Hayes alongside Noodles and the O-Dog here. You know, six straight years, guys, the President's Trophy winner has now been knocked out in either first or second round. Florida getting eliminated in the second round. The last time a team even went to the third round would have been Rangers in 2015, and then in 2013. It's the last time a team won the President's Trophy and then went on to win the Stanley Cup, Chicago. And I'm bringing it all up because Joe Thornton really thought he had a chance to win that Stanley Cup with the Florida Panthers, thought he had it a couple years ago with the Leafs. He was asked if he would return for 25th season. He only played 34 games with Florida. And he's coming back one game again? No, he said he's not sure. But I guess that's kind of my question. It's like, I mean, at what point, I mean, when you've only played 34 games and you only got into that one game and it happened to be the decisive game for Tampa, and the daggers
not
who also happen to be on the ice.
Not only that, Andy, he's the one that threw it up the boards and chewed on the minus. So who the hell wants to end it like that?
Wow. But I guess, like, he's sticking around because he wants to win a cup. And I guess my question is, great guy. We all love him. We all think he's salt of the earth. But if you're a Stanley Cup contender, would you be signing
him? No, Joe Thornton has got to go into management. The time is over to play hockey. If he wants to go and be a guy that plays 12 games and doesn't play in the playoffs, nobody wants to remember him like that. Nobody wanted to remember Marty Brodeur playing like that in St. Louis. It's so difficult for guys. I couldn't wait to get out. I was quite happy to hang up my skates and do something else in life. But they have a real hard time, and he's chasing the dream of a cup. But unfortunately, the time is over. He's ultimately going to decide that. I can't see him playing next year. I just can't see it. It's time to move on. And I would say that to his face. Like, well, it's time to move on. He's almost my age.
It's not disrespectful. I can see if he wants to play, I think he can play in Switzerland. Like, I think he can play
Pole Jager. Pole Jager.
Exactly. I believe, don't quote me, I believe his wife is from overseas.
That he met her there during the lockout year, right? So that's where he went to play. Yeah.
He could go home and play for that team. They could go home. He could play there for a couple more years because he's still, his mind is is as good as anybody's in the National Hockey League. He thinks the game so well. But eventually the speed of the game, the physicality, the body catches up. Father Time. I just don't think there'd be a marketplace for him to play for another team in the NHL right now. But in Switzerland, absolutely. He could play there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's sad. You'd love to see somebody like that win a cup. But then my question is just, but if you are a cup contender, would you sign him based on him not really being a factor on the ice this past year with the Florida Panthers? So we'll see what his decision is. Hour one wrapped up. Heading into hour two, Craig Button will join us. We'll get back into the battle of our Alberta Oilers holding the 3-1 lead in that series. Nick Nurse will also join us. Talk a little Raptors and basketball Canada. Filling in for Brian Hayes. That's Noodles and O-Dog here on Overdrive. Stay with us.